Satan the devil. And he is pictured symbolically as a dragon and also as a serpent. Just keep that in mind. And also as a serpent. And the dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Has deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels, or demons, were cast out with him. Now, I want to go further into that a little later, more about that. But first, I want you to understand, Satan the devil is now once again in world news. And how he is in world news. Satan the devil is in world news in a way that you don't understand, that the world does not understand. Because Satan the devil is a spirit being, and you can't see him. And what you don't see, or what you can't hear, taste, smell, or feel, you don't know anything about. Because all knowledge comes into your mind through one of those five senses. And there's nothing about Satan that can come into your mind through any one of those five senses. But is there a devil, after all? Is the devil real, or is he only a figment of imagination? Science has tried to pinpoint the origin of Satan in myth, just as mythology or make-believe, or just something made up in the minds of men. Science knows nothing of spirit, and Satan is a spirit being. Angels are spirit beings. Now, the Bible reveals the truth regarding Jesus Christ, regarding Satan the devil, regarding angels, regarding demons. And you either accept what the Bible says about them, or so far as they are concerned, you are ignorant. You know nothing. Science has no way of finding out. Science is material. Science knows only what can be seen, heard, felt, smelled, or tasted. Beyond that, they know absolutely nothing. They are ignorant because they're confined to merely the five senses. Now, what is God? Why doesn't science know about God? Science won't tell you anything about God. The reason is that God is not material. He can't be seen. No man has ever seen God, says your Bible. But now notice in John 4 and verse 24... God is a spirit. God is a spirit. Science doesn't believe in spirit because they can't see spirit, they can't taste, smell, or feel spirit. So they just say he doesn't exist. Well, what you don't know, you don't know that you don't know. Just stop and think about that. You don't know. And science simply does not know. Now, about angels, let me read you what the Bible says about angels in Hebrews, the very first chapter. And verses 6 and 7. And again, when God brings in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. That is, worship Christ. He's talking there about Christ. And God said, let all the angels worship him. Because he was God with us, God in the human flesh. He was worthy of the worship even of angels. Let all the angels worship him. Now the next verse, 7. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits. Angels are spirits. They are spirit, and spirit is invisible. Science knows nothing about it. You won't get any knowledge about it in the colleges or the universities, or in any kind of education, unless it's a certain religious education, and too often they don't follow the Bible. Again, let me ask once again, did God create a devil? Well, let's go back to the first space war and something about the origin of the devil. In two chapters in the Old Testament, in the first of those two chapters, Isaiah, the 14th chapter, now beginning with verse 4, it is speaking about taking up a proverb against the king of Babylon. Now, the king of Babylon is a man living today, in our time, actually alive right now today, who is going to head a revival of the Holy Roman Empire of the Middle Ages that is soon going to spring up as a sort of United States of Europe over in Europe. And some man will head it. And this is speaking of him as the king of Babylon. Now, in the 13th chapter of Revelation, you will find that the dragon, or Satan the devil, gave this power that is coming up its seat, its power, and great authority. And so, it is an instrument of Satan the devil. Now we come to verse 12 in this chapter, the 14th chapter of Isaiah, and the type lifts up to the one it represents, the one who gave it its power and seat and great authority, or Satan. And here it's speaking of someone that is not human. Beginning verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Now, son of the morning, the name Lucifer is a Hebrew name, and it means shining star of the dawn, or a light bringer, one that brings light. He had light, but he ceased to bring it. "O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation?" The better translation, "the thou who didst weaken the nation, cut down to the ground. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne." Now, notice here that he had a throne. He was going to ascend into heaven. There's going to be a war in outer space or in heaven. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Stars are a symbol of angels. Above the angels of God. "I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." I want to tell you that that is the only place in the Bible that gives any hint as to where the throne of God, where God's heaven is. There are three heavens mentioned in the Bible. The earth's atmosphere, where we fly in airplanes, is the first heaven. Or it's sometimes called the firmament, as it is in the first chapter of Genesis. Then there is outer space on beyond that. There's no part of the earth. That first heaven is merely the earth's atmosphere. It's part of the earth. It's the earth in gaseous form instead of solid form or liquid form like water. Then beside that, there is the third heaven, which is the heaven of God's throne. Now, nothing in the Bible and nothing in science, nothing in history gives us any clue as to where is the heaven of God's throne, except this one place here, in the sides of the north, in the far north, and astronomers find very few stars off in that direction. "I will ascend," continuing this scripture, as this being said, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." So his throne was here on the earth. Now, having a throne, he was a ruler. He was a ruler over the whole earth. And he was going to go up there and start a war. "I will be like the Most High," or I think a better translation would be, "I will be the Most High." That I will be the Most High. Now, this being was Satan the devil. And he existed before the first man, Adam, before the first human being was ever created on the face of the earth. Go back to the book of Genesis in the third chapter, and you find that when Adam and Eve were first created, that Satan was already here. Now, this Satan is a former cherub. You see, God gave even super angels the power of mind, power to make decisions, power of reasoning, just the same as he does to humans. He was given free moral agency. He had to make his own decisions. Now, God had made him perfect, and he continued that until iniquity was found in him. Jealousy and envy entered in him, and then rebellion, vanity, and so on. Next, I want to read you the other scripture in Ezekiel 28, verse 17. "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness." You can't say that about a human being. This is a created being, a super archangel. And he turned because of his vanity and his splendor and beauty. It corrupted him, and his wisdom was corrupted. He became a corrupt being with a twisted mind, even though he was a superior, super angel being. Now then, I want you to notice the presence of Satan and something is said about his condition even today. In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and verses 3 and 4, where the Apostle Paul said to the church, the people, the human people in the church at Corinth, he said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent, or the devil, beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, they knew about Christ, but he was afraid that their minds might be corrupted by Satan the devil. And Satan the devil is still corrupting the minds of human beings down to this day. Now, I want to go back to the prophecy again. That's back in the 12th chapter of Revelation. Now, let's begin with verse 1. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun." A woman is always a symbol in symbolic language, and especially in the book of Revelation, of a church. There were the message to seven churches in the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation. But the church is referred to as a woman. A woman clothed with the sun, but this is the Old Testament church, which was Israel. And Israel is called not Church of Israel, but Congregation. But congregation has the same meaning as the word church. It's exactly the same thing, the congregation of Israel. And they still call themselves that in the Jewish religion today. "And the moon under feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." Now that is ancient Israel. But the church is merely Israel converted. The Apostle Paul said, "He is a Jew that is one inwardly," or of the Spirit of God, in the church of the New Testament. And now here, being with child, this is Israel, traveling in birth and pained to be delivered. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon." Now here it gives a color, red. A dragon, this again is only a symbol of Satan, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the governments that he gave the power and strength and authority to had seven heads and 10 horns. And seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third of all the stars of heaven. Or of the stars of heaven. That's a third of the angels had followed him and became demons and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman ready to devour her child as soon as he was born. And she brought forth a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now you see the time element is fleeting along very rapidly here. First there was ancient Israel. Then came Jesus Christ of Israel, born of the nation Israel. And it covers his ministry. It covers his crucifixion, resurrection, and now his ascension to heaven. He was caught up to heaven unto God. And then there was an apostasy. And in the 17th chapter, you find a great persecuting church. And here you find a persecuted church which had to flee to the wilderness. Verse 6, "And the woman fled," this is the church of the New Testament now, "the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And in prophecy, that was a period of 3.5 years, and in history, it happened to be exactly 1,260 years in the Middle Ages. "And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there," that is, for 1,260 years. "And there was war in heaven." Now, that's the scripture that I read. That is coming now. That is a second time. You know, there's so many things in the Bible that are in duality. They happen once, they happen again. There was the first Adam. Christ was the second Adam. There was the old covenant made with Israel, a human, materialistic nation. And then there is the new covenant to be made with the church that will be spiritual and converted into spiritual God beings, no longer human. And there's the Old and the New Testament and so on. There was war in heaven. Now, this is another war prophesied for approximately our time. War in heaven, Michael and his angels, and Michael is also an archangel of the same rank as this Lucifer. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, which is Satan, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. Now, who is he? That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was there to deceive Eve. She led Adam around by the nose, and he took of the forbidden fruit. And then God withdrew the tree of life, representing the Holy Spirit. God didn't withdraw himself from mankind, but he did withdraw his spirit from mankind until Christ the second Adam should come. Very few people realize that. But that is the truth of your Bible, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels, which now became demons, were cast out with him. Now, notice, it goes on, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come. Now get the time element when this is. This is not before Adam was born. This is in our time approximately now or in the immediate future. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Now is come the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, which is Satan the devil, the accuser of God's people, is cast down, which accused them day and night before God. And they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, which is the word of God, the Bible. And they loved not their lives unto death, some to be martyred. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe be to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. How does he know that he has but a short time? Satan now at this time knows he has but a short time, and there is a reason why he knows that. Next. I want you to notice now the 12th chapter of Revelation has a very speedy story flow. The time sequence speeds along from ancient Israel to the birth of Christ and the ministry of Christ and his crucifixion, then his ascension up to heaven, and then a middle age time, and now finally, approximately in these latter days, in the latter half of the 20th century, is this war in heaven, in outer space or in heaven, between two great archangels. And perhaps in a later broadcast, I'll have something more to say to you about that, as is shown by the prophet Daniel. Now, why does Satan know that he has but a short time? In the 24th chapter of Matthew, the disciples had asked Jesus, what would be the sign of his second coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Jesus Christ came, and the devil tried to kill him as an infant, as soon as he was born. But an angel warned Joseph and Mary. Mary was the mother of Jesus. And they fled to Egypt, as God had them do. And so the Christ child was not killed. And then when Jesus was about 30 years of age, he met the great temptation of Satan, and Satan offered him all the kingdoms of this world because he said, they're all mine, and I can give them to whosoever I will. Jesus didn't deny that. He sat on the throne of this earth. Satan is the one who is ruler of this earth. Satan is the one who is causing all of the wars and all of the troubles in the world today. Did it ever strike you of why we live in a world of such awesome progress, such great progress materialistically, and yet of such appalling evils and troubles and suffering and everything wrong going on, problems that humans can't even solve? The answer is Satan the devil. And he is coming down with great wrath, and he is the one that is causing the great tribulation to come. Then the day of the Lord will follow that immediately after the tribulation. But the disciples asked Jesus for a sign about his second coming in the 24th chapter of Matthew. And in the 14th verse, Jesus said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." And then shall the end come. The gospel of the kingdom is the gospel that Jesus preached. That gospel was suppressed. It was not preached to the world for 19 centuries, 1900 years. And God raised me up to preach that gospel, and it began going to the whole world 1900 years later in 1953 on the most powerful station in the world, Radio Luxembourg in Europe. And afterward, other stations all around the world. And it has gone to all the world as a warning. And now the wrath of Satan, he knows he has but a short time. He knows this sign. He knows it if you don't know it. And so you will notice what happens next in verse 21 of Matthew 24. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not from the beginning of the world to this same time, known or ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved alive." Not a human being left alive. This has to be a time when there are the weapons of mass destruction that can annihilate all human beings. That has never happened until after this program went on the air, sounding the warning and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God for the first time in 1900 years, just as Christ preached it. And now what is going to happen immediately after that tribulation? No flesh would be saved alive except God shortened it, but he will. In verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of heaven will fall." And that is the time, as you will read in the 6th chapter of Revelation, of the day of the Lord, and I've had a lot to say about the day of the Lord, of God's plagues that will follow the great tribulation caused by Satan. And then men will see the Son of God, or Christ, coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great authority. That is the next verse, 30. I tell you, we're very close to these times. Oh, yes, I want to tell you, Satan is real. And there has been a war in heaven that is real. And Satan is very much in the news. When you read of the troubles over in the Middle East, you read of the troubles in Iran and Iraq, you read of the troubles in all over the world, against Ireland and England, other places around the world, all caused by this Satan who has deceived the whole world and given them lies, and who blinded the people to God's truth, suppressed the gospel of the kingdom of God, which Jesus preached, and a false gospel has gone out preaching about the person of Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful, just to preach about Christ, but there's so much more. We should hear his message, which he brought about the kingdom of God. We're living in the kingdom of Satan, and we need to know about the kingdom of God that is coming, into which we may be born. My friends, I don't have time to go on with more of this. I wish I had, but I'm out of time. I'd like to send you a book that, "Did God Create a Devil?" It'll go into much more detail than I've had time to do now. Did God create a devil? You need to know whether the devil is real. Does the devil exist or not? Now, again, something you need to understand this world and why this is the world of Satan. Another booklet that I've announced a few times before on the air, never before understood why humanity cannot solve its evils. Why can't we solve our troubles and evils? Why can't we have world peace? Why can't we have peace among ourselves? You need that booklet too. Never before understood. And the booklet, Did God Create a Devil? And then we'll send you a year's subscription to, I think, the greatest magazine in the world, and now one of the world's great mass circulation magazines of over 5 million copies a month, 10 times a year. The Plain Truth, and a year's subscription, free, and there's no charge. There's no request for money, no follow-up, no request for money. This program is just a little bit different, and I hope you notice the difference. There is no other program like it. This program is preaching the same gospel that Jesus Christ preached, and which has been suppressed for 1900 years. So all you do, remember, just send your request to me, Herbert W. Armstrong, Pasadena, California. That's all the address you need. Pasadena, California, 91123. Or, outside of California, Hawaii, and Alaska, anywhere else in the United States, a toll-free call, 800, then 423-4444. That's dial 800-423-4444. But in California, Alaska, and Hawaii, you call collect, and we pay for the call. Area code 213, then 304-6111. Now, that's area code 213-304-6111. So, until next time, Herbert W. Armstrong, goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong, sponsored by the Worldwide Church of God. For literature offered on this program, dial this toll-free number, 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444. If the lines are busy, please call again. Or you may send your request along with the call letters of this station to Herbert W. Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123.